Hi, good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on Hoshea Perek Zayin. We're halfway through Hoshea right now. This is the seventh chapter. And we're now focusing on how Hoshea has talked about the attempt to do Teshuvah. The northern kingdom has faltered. They're feeling uneasy. Their enemies are closing in. The leaders are really falling like flies one after the other. There's rebellion after rebellion, and they try to do Teshuvah to Hashem. And Hashem says, I see through it. It's like Ka'anan Boker, as we saw last time. And you're like this morning cloud which comes and dissipates very quickly. So now Hashem emphasizes the problems that exist with their Teshuvah, emphasizes the problems that still exist in society. Here's how he says it. In the first section, which runs from Sukkim Aleph to Zion, which is half of the Perek, Hashem says, "Karafi li Yisrael," when I'm trying to attend to the wounds and I'm trying to heal Israel, "V'nigle avon Ephraim v'rosa shomron ki poalu sheker." But I see all their different sins; they act terribly. "V'ganov yavoy poshat gedud b'chutz," and they are stealing outside. There's groups of people. It's terrible what's going on. There's corruption in society, and the leaders are involved in corruption. In fact, he goes on to describe in pretty graphic terms about how kulam menafim, they're all adultering. The whole society is falling apart immorally. The ba'arum, k'moy tanur ba'arum me'ofeh. It's like a oven burning in the bakery, as he describes it. The baker's up all night making sure that the oven's staying there. And at the end of this, he says, kulam yitamu yechamu ketanur. All of them are like hot, like an oven. Ve'ochlu eshoftem komekem noflu. Their judges are dead, their kings fell, there's no one calling out to me. So what does it mean to say that Hashem is healing Israel? It doesn't sound like he's healing Israel exactly now. So Rashi says, well, yes, it's following on the previous parak. You tried to return to me and do teshuvah so that I would heal you. And so I looked into your books and I saw that it wasn't so simple. I looked at your society, which is completely corrupt from bottom to top. And I understand that you don't deserve this, which is what he's describing here. The Gemara Megillah on Daf Yod Gimel Bei says, no, actually, perhaps this is actually a silver lining to this whole rebuke. Meaning, even though I'm about to destroy you, I have to tell you all these terrible things you're doing. Understand, Karofi Lamin Yisrael. The Gemara says, in the name of Reish Lakish, Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu Ma'akeh Yisrael, Ena Im Kein Bore Lohem Refuah Tchila. Hashem will always create the remedy before the plague. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm describing all the terrible things that are happening, but understand that it's a process also of healing, because I am only doing this because there ultimately is going to be a way out of this. Very powerful way to look at this. What does it mean, all this? Like there's a lot of imagery of heat here, like this oven. So the Malbim says it's about passion, it's about physical indulgence, people wanting to have immoral, licentious relationships. And he describes sort of the mashal is, if you look carefully in the Pesukim, it talks about how the people are burning all night like a baker's oven, and they don't want to fall asleep. And he describes how when a person's caught up in indulgences, when a person's caught up in passions and things they want to do and things they're thinking about doing all the time, they can't even go to sleep at night. They're completely ensconced. They're completely driven by that passion. That's what society is looking like during this time. And we see at the end of the section, it says all their judges have been eaten and their kings have fallen. What does that mean? So the Mitzvot David points out that anybody who wanted to interrupt and say, look, this is going really bad, you should really change your behavior, those people were eaten. Those are the Shoftim. Who are the Melachim? Melachim were the kings. The kings themselves were actually pretty evil most of the way through. And at this point in time, when Hoshea is talking about the end of the northern kingdom, we see literally month after month, there's king after king who's assassinated, another one replaces him, then another king's assassinated, maybe has a little few years, and then is replaced. One after the next, which indicates the instability in society. Corruption, there's no accountability because there's no judges, and even the leadership, which is corrupt, is not able to have longevity. That's all we're witnessing at the end of society. And what Hoshea is predicting is what will actually happen. The next section, the second of three sections of this perek, runs from Ches to Yod Beis. This section talks about Ephraim and his relationship to the rest of the world. And the sentence at the beginning is really the one which captures it all. Ephraim ba'anim hu yisbolal. Ephraim, which is the northern kingdom, will be yisbolal, will be assimilated among the nations. Ephraim hoya uga b'li hafucha. He's like a cake which has not been turned over. And because of that, everybody will have their piece of him. Everybody will want to take something of Ephraim. He describes this very sad way of describing how everybody will eat our pride. And Ephraim will be like this dove, which is kiyona pota, Ein Lev, doesn't have a sense of what's right, what's wrong, what's dangerous, what's not dangerous. And whoever calls her will go. If it's Ashur, they'll go. If it's Mitzrayim, they'll go. Whether it be the Egyptians or the Assyrians, they're kind of like, they don't have their own sense of self. They feel like they need the alliances. They need the other people patting them on their back from their neighbors. And so Hashem says, I'll set out my net and you'll be captured like a bird in the heaven because that's how you're acting. Just a few quick questions over here. What's the unflipped cake here? Uga bli hafucha. So Radak points out, in those days, the way you would cook a cake is you take the fig cake, which would be squashed figs, and you put it onto the coals. And you'd let it burn that way, and the heat would go through the entire cake. But if you didn't turn it over, it would burn. So yes, they had to have some interaction with the world, but they didn't turn it over. They spent too long. They were too assimilated. They were too involved in the rest of the world, which is why it was the Uga bli hafucha. What does it mean Hashem sets the trap? It doesn't mean that Hashem is going to hurt them. Hashem simply allows them that Shomron was actually a very fortified area. Hashem allows them to make mistakes, as we'll see, as we saw in Melachim, and we'll see in Direi Yomim, that the northern kingdom actually goes out to fight with Assyria. So Hashem says, you're so dependent on all your neighbors, you so believe your interaction with the rest of the world, you're going to go out to them, and that's how you're going to die. Because of your own desires, you're going to go out there and jeopardize yourself. And finally, the last little section of this perek runs from Yud Gimel to the end of the perek Tes Zayin, and this is about the punishment which is coming. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because you all moved away from me, because you abandoned me, and you didn't even call out to me in your hearts when you needed me, you were just looking for a little more rain and a little more crops. So you know what? I'm gonna send you into their powers. Yeshuvu loyol. You're going to be like the deceitful, the tricking bow, which will and you'll fall in the sword of your enemies. And you'll be mocked in Egypt. But the Beforeshim say, I guess, going on over here, as the Malbim points out, is that even when you were in a time of plight, calling out to me was only lip service. It wasn't from your heart. You didn't call me out from your heart. So you called out from your lips. You said, oh, you know, Hashem, if you don't mind, if you wouldn't mind just helping us. It's kind of like the guy who is looking for a parking lot. He's got a very important business meeting in Manhattan. He has no way of getting a parking spot. He's circling and he's circling and he's getting desperate and he's sweating profusely. And he says, you know, Hashem, you know, I'll try to be a better Jew. I'll try to be a little more adherent. I'll be a little more observant. Please just help me. And as he's speaking right in front of him, a car pulls out. And he says, don't worry. Don't worry, Hashem, I've got it covered this time, it's all right. And that's really what's happening. And the Malbim says, is that this person over here is feeling, this person is saying that, the Malbim explains that Hashem is saying, you didn't really call out to me, you just called out when you thought you needed me, not because you really actually wanted a relationship. And the Malbim goes on to point out that this little section actually refers to a historical movement. And that is that there were two traps which happened. One was to Egypt and one was to Ashur, to Assyria, where the northern nation of Israel fell prey to different alliances, where they made an alliance with first Egypt and then Assyria, and they were betrayed. And the last king was actually a good king of the northern kingdom, Hoshea ben Elah, who removed the Egle HaZahav, these golden calves in the north and the south, which Yerovam ben Nevat established. A very good person in many ways. Ultimately, it was too late to change, and he was betrayed by his own courtiers. The irony is that the people who betrayed him ultimately got killed by Assyria, and that's what's referring to over here, about the second trap, the turning bow. But the way Radak explains it is, you know, when you pull a bow and you aim in one direction, what happens if you flip the bow in the last minute? Then the bow turns around and hurts the person or shoots in the opposite direction. So he says the people holding the bow are the Nevi'im, or the bad Nevi'im who talk to Israel. The power in the bow is the people. So what happens is that the people are being pivoted by bad guys, but ultimately it's going to turn back on themselves and hurt them very much. And ultimately, even the people they think are their allies, which is Egypt, are going to be scoffing at them as Assyria pulls them apart. And that's what happens when we become too close, too much of fraternizing with those who are around us and believe that our security lies in their midst. Last point just to think about is that Rav Kook has an essay in Shmios HaRaya about this particular perek, and he argues that Ephraim Ba'amim Hu Yisbolal, that Ephraim's assimilation of the nation is not just a negative description, but it's actually a mission description of the tribe of Yosef and the northern kingdom. Meaning, the real mission of the northern kingdom was to integrate themselves into the foreign culture and make a difference there. It was to be able to be a bastion to the nations who would send, literally send planes to Brazil when the dam would break and and help the people around them. And that was the mission. That was the Yosef mission, as opposed to the Yehuda mission of the nation of Israel. That was Yosef going down to Mitzrayim and succeeding incredibly in the nation of Egypt. The problem is that too much assimilation, if it's an uga bali hafucha, if it's not turned over and you're too long on the coals, you don't have enough of a connection back to the mothership, there's no Yerushalayim, there's no Mikdash in the center, then that can't hold. Ultimately, the assimilation will be without retention. There'll be no ability to be able to influence, to be able to be the or goyim, as Yeshayahu says. Why? Because there's no mothership nearby. So this is ultimately not just a criticism, it is ultimately the mission which was misused, misappropriated, which is a tragedy of this section. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.